Congressmen hate private jets, except their own. Richard Santulli leaves NetJets after 25 years. And Eads opens a subsidiary in Japan. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 7th, 2009. It was tough to hear federal lawmakers criticize users of business jets while House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was trying to upgrade from the Gulfstream 3 provided her by the Air Force to a 757 to handle her growing entourage on weekend trips home. Well, now Congress has apparently given up completely on any attempt to avoid the appearance of hypocrisy. The 2010 House Defense Appropriations Bill includes almost $200 million for the Air Force to buy three new Gulfstream 550 jets, which the military calls C-37s, for transportation of VIPs. The Air Force had asked only for one of the planes to upgrade the fleet it uses to shuttle military officials around. Congress added two more on its own. Roll Call reports the House wants the two additional planes assigned to D.C. area units that provide transportation to members of Congress. Officials say the planes are needed to ensure security and allow members of Congress to hold meetings and work during their travel, which, of course, makes their situation completely different from that of the business travelers they criticize. NetJets announced on Tuesday that Chairman and CEO Richard Santulli will be leaving the company. Santulli offered, quote, "After 25 years of working with the most talented group of people I could ever have imagined, who helped build the premier aviation company in the world, I have decided to step down in order to spend some more time with my young family and pursue other interests. I will remain on with NetJets as a consultant for at least the next 12 months in order to assist in this transition," unquote. Warren Buffett, whose Berkshire Hathaway acquired NetJets in 1998, commented, quote, "It is with reluctance that I accept Richard's decision to step down. Richard Santulli is synonymous with the fractional jet ownership industry, and his vision and energy has made NetJets the leader that it is today. All of Richard's friends at Berkshire Hathaway wish Richard well in this transition," unquote. Buffett has appointed David Sokol as chairman and interim CEO. Eads, the European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company, has established a new subsidiary in Japan. The company says the staff of Eads Japan will help coordinate and support the group's marketing campaigns and industrial partnerships there. Eads hopes to further long-term relationships to aid in the sales of its extensive product line in Japan, and notes that it already buys $1 billion worth of goods in the country annually, directly and through suppliers. Eurocopter has more than a 50% share of the civilian helicopter market in Japan and is also a supplier to the Ministry of Defense. Up next on ANN, FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt gets a primetime spot on the NBAA roster. Babbitt tells ALPA members, "We can't regulate professionalism." And another European helicopter sets its sights on the U.S. market. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 7th. I'm Paul Plack. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt appears to be taking advantage of every opportunity to interact with aviation stakeholders. Following his well-received Meet the Administrator forum at Oshkosh, Babbitt has been announced as a featured speaker at the National Business Aviation Association's 62nd Annual Meeting and Convention in October in Orlando, Florida. NBAA President Ed Boland commented, quote, "Randy is a veteran pilot and internationally recognized authority on aviation policy, and I know NBAA members will be very interested to hear his thoughts on the FAA's priorities in the years to come," unquote. Also appearing at the event's opening general session will be Forbes magazine publisher and business airplane owner and pilot, Rich Carlgaard. Speaking before the Airline Pilots Association Safety Forum in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, Babbitt told pilots, quote, "We cannot regulate professionalism. No matter how many rules, regulations, advisories, mandatory training sessions, voluntary training sessions, pull them all together and it still comes down to us. And by us, I mean every pilot," unquote. Babbitt spent 3 years as ALPA president in the 90s. he offered his audience observations about Continental Connections Flight 3407, which crashed on approach to Buffalo Niagara International in February. Quote, "If you haven't read the transcript of the CVR, I'd encourage you to do so. The professionalism of the flight crew has been raised as an issue, and this isn't the first time. We've got to put a stop to that. The accidents we've seen and the call to action I've made all have the crying need for refocus on professionalism running through them. I am saying that this is a time for veterans to take the extra effort to mentor the pilots coming up through the ranks to ensure we maintain the highest levels of professionalism. This not only deals with safety, but with the need for you to help the new pilots learn how to react and adapt to change. We all have to take on additional responsibilities, whether we're legally required to or not. This is about safety, and safety is about saving lives," unquote. Babbitt also told the gathered airline pilots he has set a 45-day deadline for recommendation on new work rules regarding minimum crew rest. A Ukrainian manufacturer is coming to the U.S. in the hopes of out-R22-ing the R22. In a Wednesday announcement, Rotor FX LLC of Van Nuys, California, was named the U.S. sales agent for JSC CB Aerocopter. The Aerocopter AK-13 is a high-performance two-place light helicopter type certified in Europe since 2006. It will be introduced initially in the U.S. as a kit, meeting the requirements of experimental amateur build. Aerocopter says the machine will be priced well under $200,000, have very low direct operating costs, and be just the thing for patrol, surveillance, news gathering, training, agricultural, and law enforcement markets. The AK-13 claims a 115-mile-per-hour maximum speed, a 100-mile-per-hour cruise, climb at 1,800 feet per minute, a 9,800-foot ceiling, 2-hour endurance, and a 200-mile range. The airframe is life-limited by the manufacturer at 8,000 hours. While a TBO of 2,000 hours is stated for the power plant, it's not clear whether that applies to the Subaru auto conversion depicted on the company's website or some aircraft engine that might be eligible for certification in the U.S. eventually. Rotor FX LLC provides a number of helicopter-related training, ferry, charter, and import-export services, and is also a dealer for the Mosquito kit helicopter. The Aerocopter AK-13 reportedly is subject to a 12-month order backlog. Still ahead, U.S. Airways and All Nippon Airways want a code share ASAP. Despite capacity cuts, the worldwide airline fleet is growing. And the way to really fool terrorists is to let shampoo through the checkpoints, sometimes. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 7th. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. Airways and All Nippon Airways of Japan say they plan to begin a code share agreement next month. Dow Jones reports that if approval is received in time from regulators in both countries, the plan could launch September 16th, offering customers on each airline double loyalty program miles when flying the other airline's routes in a promotion scheduled to run through November 30th. Both airlines are members of the Star Alliance. ANA joined in 1999 and U.S. Airways in 2003. ANA is Japan's largest domestic carrier and the world's 10th largest airline when measured by passenger load. Despite the gloomy industry news reports and talk of more airline capacity cuts, the International Air Transport Association says its members returned a net of 68 mothballed aircraft to service and took delivery of another 124 new planes this year so far. In all, IATA says the worldwide fleet has grown by 2% since January 1st. IATA tells Aviation Daily that capacity cuts appear to have stabilized in the past few months at about 4 to 5% below last year's levels. Freight capacity cuts are also reported stable, down about 10%. Unfortunately, neither reduction has kept pace with the rate of decline in traffic, so excess capacity is still on the rise. Officials at Shannon Airport in Ireland have undertaken a unique tactic to increase transatlantic business. They've installed a 21 million euro U.S. Customs pre-screening center, where passengers bound for the U.S. can be screened before taking off for home, rather than after arriving at their U.S. destination. Airport Director Martin Moroney sees the new option as a key to becoming a transatlantic gateway, telling the Irish Times, quote, "This is an historic day, and in 3 years' time, this will be a very busy airport based on pre-clearance. I don't want to give numbers, but our aim is to give substantial growth in commercial and corporate jet business on the transatlantic," unquote. Using the pre-clearance allows passengers arriving at any U.S. airport to come in as domestic passengers. The Times reports the airport authority has also seized the opportunity to raise passenger fees sevenfold for those using the pre-clearance option. It may still be a good deal. Moroney estimates the option could significantly reduce delays transferring between legs of a flight, and some of the most egregious tarmac strandings in recent years in the U.S. have been compounded by the unavailability of customs screeners at arrival airports. And finally today, the Tampa Bay Times sent one of its interns through different airports in the southeastern U.S. and found TSA screening standards vary widely by airport. Recent University of South Carolina graduate Jackie Alexander reportedly had her purse rescreened 3 times and tested for explosives at Tampa International, then was sent on her way, despite the fact that she had knitting needles and a small knife in the purse. She also was not questioned about the large shampoo bottle in her backpack. Knitting needles are no longer disallowed, but Alexander said that at Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta, she was questioned about them and called out for lip balm that was not in the prescribed 1-quart Ziploc. TSA spokeswoman Sari Koschitz says letting the knife and shampoo through were errors, but explained the agency's apparently widely varying screening standards as, quote, "an element of unpredictability inserted into our mixture of people, process, and technology," unquote. If the goal is an unpredictable experience, I think they have that part down cold. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll spend a few minutes with Rennie Price, one of the busier airshow performers in the business. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.